You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball! What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, January the 11th, and a win on Friday. Let's focus on that. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Today on the show, we've got Brian with the recaps of the weekend games against Phoenix and Utah. I've got some thoughts as well. We will get into the starting lineup, my favorite topic. Two bad starts, so is it time to see something different with this group going forward? But we're also going to talk about who didn't play. Where is Sekou so far this season? Give me a follow, by the way, on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Give brother Brian a follow, show contributor extraordinaire B Shook 12, and also give the Play Michigan account a follow at Play_Michigan. I know you guys all do that already, and I appreciate that much. But the Pistons get the split over the weekend at home with two games left at Little Caesars Arena in the four-game homestand. We will get to those later on this week, a couple of days off for the red, white, and blue. But here's brother Brian with the details from the weekend.
This is your Pistons game recap.
Could really put the pressure on with a score here. Jeremy Grant to the hoop. Doesn't convert. Clock still running. Bay this time. Sends it. Scores it. Sadiq Bay with back-to-back clutch hoops.
The Pistons stand at 2-8 after splitting a pair of weekend games that followed the same game flow, as they both saw the Pistons get down big early, 23 on Friday night taking on the Suns and 20 on Sunday afternoon against the Jazz. In both games, the Pistons were able to claw their way back to make it competitive late, but it was Friday's game that they were able to get all the way back, beating the Suns 110-105 in overtime. Detroit was again led by Jeremy Grant's second straight and career-high matching 31-point contribution, which was accompanied by 10 rebounds to complete his second straight double-double. Blake Griffin joined Grant in the double-double club, bullying his way to a 16-point, 10-rebound performance to go along with 5 assists. Mason Plumlee, DeLon Wright, and Sadiq Bey off the bench also contributed double-digit points. Phoenix was led by Grand Rapids native Devin Booker, who turned in 23 points, and DeAndre Ayton had a double-double of his own with 14 points and 12 rebounds. Former Piston Langston Galloway was as hot as a pistol for a stretch and torched his former club for 17. Sunday afternoon, Detroit couldn't get some shots to fall late and miss some chances before falling 96-86 to the Jazz. Not to sound like a broken record, but Jeremy Silver Lining Grant led the way for Detroit with his ninth straight game above 20 points, this time registering 28. Blake Griffin with 10 and a team-leading 5 assists, and Sadiq Bey with 12 off the bench joined Grant with double digits in the Pistons' lowest scoring output this year, which probably had something to do with Derrick Rose missing the game with soreness in his left knee. Mason Plumlee had 8 rebounds to lead Detroit. Utah started red hot, led by Donovan Mitchell with 28 and Mike Conley with 22. Jordan Clarkson tossed in 18 off the bench, while Rudy Gobert had 19 rebounds and 4 blocks. The Pistons split the weekend against the betonline.ag spread and now stand 5-3 against it, while both games had the under come in. The Pistons have a couple of days before they continue the homestand Wednesday night against the Bucks. That game tips at 7 p.m. on Fox Sports Detroit and 97.1 The Ticket. This has been your Pistons game recap.
Thanks again to brother Brian for the tremendous game recaps. And how about that Jeremy Grant? The man continues to get it done for the Pistons, but not too much to the point where they become a winning team. So all is well for a competitive team that's doing a little tanking, maybe a little rebuilding, whatever you want to call it. Sitting right now at 2-8 in the young season, 10 games in, tied with the Washington Wizards for the worst record in basketball, one half game behind the Toronto Raptors, who are 2-7. So the Wizards coming to town on Friday. That's a big one there. We're going to obviously keep a must-lose game, right? It's strange to think about, strange to say. But first, the Milwaukee Bucks coming to town for the third and final game against the Detroit Pistons this season. And then the Wizards in town, 7 o'clock on Friday before the Pistons go for a back-to-back on Saturday, 8 o'clock on Saturday night in Miami against the Heat there. And then that's one of those strange two straight games against the same team, but not on back-to-back days, as they will play on Martin Luther King Day on Monday afternoon with a 3 o'clock start in South Beach, taking on the Miami Heat once again. So that's the road ahead for the Detroit Pistons for the next few games, tied for last in the NBA. And you figure, I don't know, Washington not really considered one of the dregs of the NBA coming into this one. The Pistons certainly were. So I don't know if this is quite a olive letter game, but for this point, this Friday game will be an important one to be at the bottom of the standings. It is important to be at the very bottom. I know the flattened lottery odds don't give any advantage to any team of compared to the others in the bottom three of the NBA. However, they pick the four teams in the lottery, and being the worst team in the NBA assures you a top five pick, even if you don't have any lottery luck. So, yeah, I'm on board with being the worst team in the NBA. Not the worst thing in the world if they're not the worst team and are one of the second or third worst teams in the league. But that's the goal right now. If you had any harbored enthusiasm about this team getting into the top 10 and getting into that play-in tournament, well, right now this Pistons are only 2.5 games out of the top 10. We know they've had some close results, so maybe this team is owed a win or two in this group right now. But yeah, the Brooklyn Nets sitting at 10th in the Eastern Conference, so 2.5 games out of there. And then the quote-unquote normal playoffs, 3 games out of the 8th spot. Shared right now, get this, the tie for 6th, a 3-way tie for 6th place in the Eastern Conference, the New York Knicks, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Charlotte Hornets. Those teams don't know what they're doing. They're not tanking. They're not losing. But some exciting stuff from some young guys on those teams. And certainly the Pistons, a less so maybe exciting stuff from the young guys. But maybe a year from now, we can be talking about winning some games, turning some heads early on in the season. And we'll see if that's in the future for this club going forward. 538.com still has the Pistons at 17 wins right now, 17-55. I think that went up from 16 after the Phoenix win, and now still 7 games out of the second worst team's projections in the NBA. That's the Chicago Bulls. So the Chicago Bulls are the number one competition right now for that olive games, for the biggest loser in the NBA, according to 538.com, and the standings there, 4-7, a game and a half ahead of your Detroit Pistons. A lot of, I don't know, mixed emotions about those numbers. Of course, it's a little bit depressing, but it's reality, and we live in reality here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But up next, my favorite topic, we are going to talk about the starting lineup. This team has had 2, 3, 4 bad starts in a row now, and is it time to see something different from Dwayne Casey when the ball is tipped with these next two games at Little Caesars Arena and beyond? That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first, got to tell you guys about Built Bar. I've got more on the way, literally on the way to Detroit City right now. But Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious than maybe the ones you had off the top. 18 amazing flavors now, including nut and non-nut flavors. You can find the allergy-friendly ones. The 6 new flavors are the caramel brownie, the cookies and cream, the cherry barcia, the lemon almond cheesecake, maybe one of my favorites right there, the carrot cake, and the apple almond crisp as well. Add that to the 12 OGs, including favorites such as German chocolate and coconut from Hawaii all the way to Munich or Berlin. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. They're also healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy. You've got the weight loss goals. You've got the fitness goals like I do in 2021. Let's lift each other up and help each other out with these Built Bars. You lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. You got the low calorie, the low sugar, the high protein, the high fiber. So they fill you up, but they don't hurt you on the front or the back end, if you know what I mean. They're great for the keto diet as well. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yes, sir!
2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts.
I did note Brian's Donovan Mitchell sadness in the recap. Maybe we'll just air all the draft mistakes out in a Dirty Laundry segment sometime soon. But we know by now that Killian Hayes went down on Monday, throwing a huge wrench into the overall plans for the Detroit Pistons. But where do they go from now, particularly with how poorly they've been starting games since the rookie went down? On Wednesday night, the first game in the post-Killian Hayes this season era, Wayne Ellington got the start. DeLon Wright moved over to point guard. The first 2 minutes and 40 seconds of that game against Milwaukee, the Pistons went down 12-2, forcing a Dwayne Casey timeout. The team would eventually be down 11 points after the first quarter. Friday night, back at home, Josh Jackson back into the lineup, really struggled these past two games since he has returned from the ankle injury that he suffered against the Celtics last week. So Josh Jackson back into the starting lineup, taking Wayne Ellington's spot. 1 minute and 52 seconds into the game, Pistons down 8-2, down 9 after the first quarter on Friday night before clawing their way back later in the game. Sunday afternoon against the Utah Jazz, same starting lineup. That's Mason Plumlee, Blake Griffin, Jeremy Grant, and DeLon Wright. And this time, once again, Josh Jackson in that starting lineup. 4 minutes and 11 seconds into the game, the Pistons down 12-2. And then after the first quarter, down by 15 points. There is a problem here. Now, first off, the biggest problem, we're going to give Dwayne Casey one pass on this, and there's nothing he can do about it. There is a lack of starter talent on this roster, and when you go up against the other team's best five, their starting lineup, it's a mismatch. That's going to be the case from now and on Wednesday and on Friday and on every day after that, probably the rest of the season. And we acknowledged this before the season started, how jarring it was to have DeLon Wright, Mason Plumlee, and Killian Hayes all in the starting lineup. These guys, and I never made a definitive list, that would be a little bit sad. Of all the NBA starters, so what do you got, 30 times 5, 150 starters in the NBA in terms of the healthy, quote-unquote, day one starters for the opening game? Those guys, of those 150, are certainly in the bottom 15 of all those 150, and it might even be worse than that. We'll just leave it at that for now. These are not quality starters. And then when you lose Hayes, you bring in Ellington or Jackson so far, And that's probably an upgrade, you know, if we're being honest, in terms of what these guys can produce here in 2021 over a rookie, Killian Hayes, who I'm not begrudging the starting completely. There is some validation and some merit to that, but you're still probably those guys, Josh Jackson or Wayne Ellington, probably in the bottom 15 of starters of the 150 of them in the NBA. The things that we didn't know that have kind of transpired, Blake Griffin, sadly, probably in the bottom half of starters in the NBA. Let's just leave that there right now. I'm sure there's some of you that think that's even lower. And maybe there's a world where Blake recovers somewhat and gets back into that top half. Debatable. We'll leave it at that right now. Hopefully that improves in time. And if it wasn't for the great Jeremy Grant, and yes, let's have the shine the Jeremy Grant light for all to see. And I don't mean this sarcastically. I am willing to eat some crow on this one. He has been outstanding. Troy Weaver can shove that one right up the butts of pundits like your boy here. A truly astonishing and impressive start by Jeremy Grant. I'm not even going to throw a caveat on there that I expect a little bit of a regression, just enjoying the ride right now at this point. And which got me to thinking, and I kind of looked it up because it was something that I didn't think the Pistons would have to worry about this season. But the way that things have started for young Jeremy Grant, just wanted to point out that no, there is not an All-Star game this year. They canceled that, pushed the Indianapolis All-Star game back to 2024. They did this back in November. Kind of missed my radar. Haven't really been thinking about the 2021 All-Star game with this team too much. But I am curious if they will name All-Stars or whatever. No definitive word on that, although the belief around a few of the articles I read around the time of the cancellation or postponement, I should say, and it was that they will still name All-Stars. So you get some contract incentives there. So it makes a lot of sense. It was supposed to be in Indianapolis, like I said, on Valentine's Day, and that is not happening. So maybe instead of the NBA All-Star game, maybe a little romance with the old lady or the old man in your life instead of that NBA All-Star game. Move back to 2024. In the next 2 years, Cleveland next season for All-Star Weekend and Salt Lake City the weekend after that, followed by 2024, the replacement game in Indianapolis. So NBA beat writers, get ready to party in Cleveland, Salt Lake, and Indianapolis. Bring the game to Detroit sometime soon. That's right. And now the All-Star break, quote-unquote, as it were, the season is March 5th to March 10th. So presumably, quote-unquote, All-Stars will be named at some period before that. Maybe they'll make it during that time because why not? But Jeremy Grant, almost halfway to that point. Maybe that's a little bit exaggerating, but getting to that one-third through the pre-All-Star break or All-Star naming area. So doing the job. No, I do not expect him actually to make the All-Star team. We saw Bradley Beal get snubbed being on one of the worst teams in the NBA despite dropping over 30 a game. So we can kick and scream here in Pistons land, and we will if he continues playing this well, even on a dud team right now. Jeremy Grant, deserving of all the accolades, will continue to push that. No alternate plans have been announced for the All-Star break March 5th through 10th. Maybe a dunk Zoom contest. I'd love to see that. I'll be coming up with some of those things in my head that we can alternate instead of the NBA All-Star weekend in Indianapolis. But the Pistons starters, where do we go from here? What does Dwayne Casey change to get these games out to a better start? Or as fans, do you just start tuning in 20 minutes or so after the scheduled tip-off and just miss that first few minutes of the game that you know are going to do poorly? I would, for the record, make a simple change. I would move probably Josh. The problem is the point guard situation. That's kind of the elephant in the room right now, especially with Derrick Rose being out on Sunday. You've got DeLon Wright playing 36 minutes at point guard and then Frank Jackson coming in for 12. This is not ideal, in case you were wondering. DeLon Wright, we're hoping for some better things from him, but man, point guard minutes for him, and he can handle the ball all right, so that's kind of, I guess, the you can't play point guard if you can't handle the ball, and maybe Bruce Brown had some of those issues last year. Maybe it wasn't a long-term fix, but man, to the layman like me, it appeared like Bruce Brown was playing pretty well at times at point guard last year. Dwayne Casey put the kibosh in this. The organization threw him into the garbage for nothing. It's something that, man, it's baffling, was baffling at the time. Gets even more baffling when you could see, hey, these are perfect tank minutes anyway for Bruce Brown to show if he can do it, to learn, to struggle, to grow, add some tools to his bag. It just seems like the perfect situation, a guy that would fit into the culture. A truly baffling move by Troy Weaver, and we know that we're giving him some kudos on some of these other moves instead. But we are stuck with DeLon Wright. I think it's the best option, as sad as it sounds, for your starting point guard right now. I do like Derrick Rose in that second unit still, keeping Rose and Griffin separate. That defense would be a disaster with those two guys on the court at the same time. So what do? I'm bumping Josh Jackson back to the bench and hoping that him and Derrick Rose can rekindle some of the good two-man game situations that they had going during their stint off the bench in that second group. And for now, I'm putting Svi Mykhailiuk into that starting lineup, seeing if you can add some shooting to that group and maybe you can catch fire early on in games. No, this is not going to change the Pistons into a very good starting team. They will still be a bad starting five. But give Svi a chance. Add the confidence to his game. He went 1-for-8 from three-point land on Sunday. Maybe a vote of confidence could help some of these young guys as opposed to docking minutes like Dwayne Casey has done. And yes, I'm open to the idea of Sadiq Bey moving to the starting lineup in time, although I would just, you know, let him show it a little bit longer as a rookie in this league before making him an NBA starter, even if it is a team that is probably the worst one in the NBA right now. But speaking of minutes for young guys, let's get to it. Up next, Sekou Doumbouya, what is going on with the minutes for him? That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But first,
it's Bang the Over Brother Brian on College Football National Championship Day, and let me tell you where to head, betonline.ag. Are you ready for some football? The College Football National Championship game is tonight, and the NFL playoffs continue this weekend. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. In tonight's game, Bama is an 8.5-point favorite, and the game total is a whopping 75.5. That might be too high for even me to bang the over. If money lines are your thing, the Crimson Tide are minus 290 and the Buckeyes are almost 2.5 to 1 at plus 245. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Tomorrow, we got Doc Joe Brown, who was in the house on Sunday for the Pistons against the Utah Jazz. We'll get the perspective of a season ticket holder walking back into LCA for the first time since the last time the Pistons played the Utah Jazz on something like March 11th. I was in the house for that one as well. The Christian Wood versus Rudy Gobert game. Pistons lose that one, and that was the last game in Little Caesars Arena for a long time. But the Pistons inviting back a lot of the dignitaries, season ticket holders, like Doc Joe Brown. He went back, and he's going to tell us all about his experiences on tomorrow's show. Check that one out. But got some numbers for you guys. Sekou Doumbouya, if you've been watching this team, you know that the minutes are falling for young Sekou. Here's the minutes distribution from game one all the way to game 10, as the Pistons are at the 10-game mark at 2-8 right now. 14 in the opener, 9, 10, 10, 11, 14, back up to 23 for the Milwaukee Bucks on the blowout when they were getting wrecked pretty much all of that game. And the young kids came in quite a bit when Killian Hayes went down in the early stages of the third quarter there. Then the other game with Milwaukee, down to 13, which was pretty much the average at that time, the mid-teens. But the last two games, two short stints for Sekou at 5 minutes in each of the last two games over the weekend. Now, what are his numbers like so far? It's almost silly to talk honestly about numbers as he's played 110 total in this season. However, other than efficiency, field goal percentage from twos and threes, and also effective and field goal percentage there as well. But the points per 36 minutes are up. Hal Bridges, who's one of the better Pistons Twitter follows out there, and you should all follow him as well for the clips mostly, but other informed opinions about the Pistons, put up the splits on Basketball Reference, the per 36 minutes from his rookie season to this year, up to 13-8 a game right now, so doing a little bit more rebounding. Actually, an assist every now and then, which is a new thing as well. But yes, the three-point percentage is up from 28.6% to now 46.7%, but overall, the field goal percentage as a whole down from 39 to 34.1%. The per 100 possession numbers are a similar story when looking at it there, but the true shooting percentage down from 47.4% to 46.5%. So pretty similar there, but I don't know, man. Especially that 23-minute game against Milwaukee, the numbers aren't pretty. Nobody's numbers that night were very pretty, by the way. 4 for 13, but 3 for 6 from three for Sekou in that one. But bodied Giannis a couple of times, made him feel him a little bit there, a season high 13 points. I like the energy I saw from him. It seemed like a guy who was ready to move into that solidly part of the rotation that Dwayne Casey seemed to be nudging him towards. Now, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know what's going on at practices, the level of professionalism, et cetera, that are open questions for young guys who are getting their minutes cut. Unfortunately for Sekou, that's one of the places that we have to kind of jump to in terms of how that's going for his development. We know he's a guy who got cursed out by Dwayne Casey all last year for not being in shape. He took this offseason seriously, obviously got himself into better shape, and it hasn't been enough for the veteran coach so far this year, who's found a new pet to really ride. And it worked a little bit for Christian Wood in terms of his overall career development. Didn't help keep him around, but we'll see what the future has in store for Sekou Doumbouya and his time here with the Pistons as we look forward to develop. He's a young guy, still younger than a lot of the other rookies on the Pistons, just turned 20 on December 23rd, still one of the youngest players in the NBA. But, man, it seems like a guy who's done what it takes to deserve it. He's got a little bit more pep in his step. However, I've noticed, in these two short stints where he's only played 5 minutes on Friday night and Sunday afternoon, he's got a little bit of that pout back. And no, it's not important on the stat sheet to have good bouty language. It's not important to smile when you're playing basketball, but he seems like a guy who's dismayed. He seems like a guy who's irritated with the situation he's in right now. And frankly, I don't blame him. And I think I would be irritated too if I was Sekou watching this team that has designs on losing, that should be giving minutes to guys who earn it. And unfortunately, the roster situation is working against him in some ways, because you have your best position at the four bogged down by two veteran, better players than you. But no, I don't think that's an excuse. I think there's minutes to be found at the three for him, maybe Jeremy Grant as well. There's backup minutes to be found with Blake Griffin sitting out minutes, and maybe even some experiments with Sekou at the five could be found as well for him to find his destiny as an NBA player. But he is not finding his destiny as an NBA player, sitting on the bench watching games like you and I are doing. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I'm your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan. Have a great day. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.